Вие сте со SBS на Македонски.
Hi, Connie Boglis, and welcome to SBS Macedonian. It's really great to have you in person in our studio in Sydney.
It's so great to finally see you in person.
Great. Your name, Connie, is associated with advocacy for veterans and mental health awareness, particularly concerning suicide prevention among veterans. You've been engaged in public speaking for years about the veteran suicide prevention and related issues. Your work includes sharing personal stories and insights to foster understanding and encourage action. And now you flew from Melbourne to attend an event in Sydney. Would you tell us more about it?
Yes, so this is the closing ceremony of the Royal Commission into Veteran Suicide, of which the three commissioners spoke to an auditorium at the Sydney Library and gave their final words as to maybe what they would like to see come from their report to government. And we have until September 9th for the government to respond with their motion forward and where they will take that report.
What, in your opinion, is expected as a government response to the commissioner's findings?
I think anything less than the independent body that the community are asking for would really be a waste. And when I say that, I say that with a heavy heart, in that 5,000 plus individuals, family members, veterans, community service, ESOs, have all spoken to this Royal Commission and have made submissions over the course of 3 years. They have unpacked old wounds and traumas and stories and knowledge that has been needed to be shared for decades. And if we are not highlighting and changing governance and changing frameworks and including and incorporating the voice of lived experience moving forward in an independent body, it will all just be a waste of time.
Some participants mentioned the need to overcome bureaucratic inertia. What has been your experience in dealing with services over the years?
So the veteran space for myself and my former partner at the time was one of neglect, and I would say an autocratic system that did not serve the whole of person. So we were very much lost in that system, and my partner didn't receive the individual care he needed. So I think that is where this Royal Commission has such a place to speak to historical neglect within the department and how we can move forward together to create something that is fit for purpose and will function for the community.
Right. Connie, you mentioned that traumatic stories of ADF members and their loved ones resurfaced and were retold, with some having been carried for decades. Could you share perhaps the story behind your tireless advocacy?
So I met Jesse in 2014. We were together for 2 years, and during that time I don't think I really saw the true toll of war until we moved in together. And me having a background in mental health and counselling, I think I started to see the signs of PTSD or the impacts of not being able to transition a role out of the ADF into civilian life, especially because Jesse didn't have a trade or a skill behind him. He enlisted at the early age of, 18. And so for him, that's all he knew. And for me, I just really wanted him to transition well. So I think I've said this before, I felt very naive, even though with everything I knew in the mental health space and with homelessness and the prison system and all the areas that I worked in a government position across my work, this was a very different space because it's a very regimented, autocratic system of which veterans were treated very much so like an insurance kind of transactional, you know, space. There wasn't case management services, so to speak. It was very much waiting for a claim to be processed, waiting to have another rejection letter, waiting for further information. It was just, it was very transactional, very unemotive. And so just observing that was very unnatural for me, given the work I do in the healing space, where we hold people, where we advocate for the needs of individuals who are suffering. So it was very overwhelming for me to navigate that with Jesse. And being in Melbourne as well in that time, services weren't so readily available as they would be, let's say, in Townsville, where it is a very veteran-dominated community, given the bases that are there. And so it was very far and few between as to what was available for a veteran in Melbourne to seek employment, transitional support. It was really tough. Saying that, we finally did get him into some supports over the years, but I think for the both of us, there was just so much that we had to survive on our own that it almost tore us apart, because his mental health declined, as did mine, trying to save him and navigate this system. He didn't even have a white card at the time, and that is a very basic right of every veteran, of which, since our advocacy now, every veteran has, which is thankfully something that they don't need to constantly fight for. But Jesse didn't have at the time, so he couldn't get basic monetary coverage for medication and counselling and so on. And I referred Jesse to a support service and an inpatient ongoing hospital stay. He was unemployed for some time during that period. We had also just lost a baby, and I think we both needed that time to heal. Over that time, he pushed me away. He disengaged with other behaviours and groups of people, and there were rifts between us. And then I later found out of what happened. So that is what fueled my advocacy, and that is what led me to unpack, understand, and connect with so many other partners, families. Their stories were very similar to mine, and they felt very connected to what happened to us because it was so similar and moments away from a loss of life or crises. And that is what Jesse's mother and I wanted to do. We wanted to make sure that there was no other suicides, that there were no other stories like ours to be told. And I think once we got the Royal Commission, I know I personally stepped back because I needed respite after 7 years of advocacy after losing Jesse. But now we have those 5,000 plus stories told that we cannot untell, we cannot unsee, we cannot unknow. The government has an opportunity to do something this week to really put into practice what our veteran community, their families and their loved ones and the services that are there and funded to support them can actually achieve when we unite together. Now, we haven't done this in Australia, and there's always been fear of what is new and what is different and how will this impact? Well, it's only going to impact in the right way because it is about the wellness of our people. We send people to war. We need to be able to heal them when they come home. It was actually the IRS. I'll tell you a story, if you don't mind.
Yes.
A few months after Jesse had passed away, I was invited to RSL Nationals conference. And there were RSL CEOs from across Australia that sat and listened to what was coming for the years ahead, and I was invited to speak and share my story. And the first paragraph of my speech was a question. It was a statement. And in the end, I did say to the whole room, "Do you know where you've heard this statement before?" And people looked around, they nod their head, they would, you know, amongst themselves, oh, I don't know, it sounds familiar, I haven't heard it. It was their charter. It was their charter from 1916.
1916.
And it said, we will look after you when you return home from war. We're still waiting. It's 2024. And our RSLs have a big question mark looming under their names and what they stand for today, because it should not be about the Pokies, the Palmers and the Potts and the free bus home. It should be that they all function as a veteran welfare service, that they are all distributed resources and fundings to be able to support their local veteran community, know who they are, and have a space that is separate to their service hospitality arm. And I cannot tell you the amount of times I've heard people say to me, I didn't know that RSL did this, or there isn't that support service available. Now, the Royal Commission is looking under that hood, and they are speaking to and they are looking into the ESO space. And the ESO space is the ex-service organisations. RSL are one of them. So they are the peak of the ESO space funded. So I hope that we can do some really great work here alongside our RSLs, because they all function as franchises across Australia. But if we are to do this work, we need to unite every organisation that is well-funded, that is well-resourced, to create that cultural shift and stop the divide. And every advocacy group, every advocate that is there to support our veterans has a space and has the resources to do the work, because we should not be divided.
That's what I was going to ask you, if you could have all the power to change things for the veterans and their families in reducing the stigma associated with mental health issues and improving the access to health services, what would that be?
It needs to start on the ground. It needs to start with the local services that exist for our community members. And to shift that culture, we first need to educate. We need to bring them in. We know who our veterans are. Our RSLs have that information. We have our census data. We can locate them if they are choosing to be located. We need to understand what they need on that grassroots level, local community basis. I mean, only just now, I mean, I'm running for local council elections and I'm knocking on people's doors. If I wasn't doing that, I wouldn't know what my community would need. I didn't know there was a pothole up the road. I didn't know that there was no school crossing and there was a fatality a few weeks before. I wouldn't have known any of that if I didn't go and ask myself. And that's what we need to do. We need to go back to grassroots advocacy. We need to go and have those outreach discussions. We need to bring our people together, because it's taken a Royal Commission to seek out what we already know, and we need to start local.
Kuni, as you mentioned, you are also entering the political arena now in Melbourne, and you are tirelessly connecting with members in your local community. We can see that on your social pages. Why is that close connectedness in the community so important to you?
Look, it's been 20 years of my work in this space. I started as a case manager in, you know, child protection and in the juvenile justice space at Parkville Prison with kids. And getting on the ground and speaking to people where they're at and what they need, I cannot stress enough the importance of that, because you are informed directly by the service users and their needs every day. You can't get that wrong. When you start to tell people what they need, that's where you're going to lose them. If it's not an intentional relationship, you are already creating that divide. And so for me, that work is something that I've known. So to be able to connect with my local community, of which I was born down the road at the hospital, I went to the primary school, a few kilometres walk with my grandfather every day. I lived right by the market where I went and bought my food with my grandmother. This is my identity. This is my home. These people share the same suburbs as I. I want to know what they need. It's the only way. And together, when we use our voice, when we speak to what change needs to happen, that's the community connectedness. That's the neighbourhood ignition connection and having those beautiful grassroots ideas. I mean, we've spoken about street parties. We've spoken about sharing seedlings of my favourite tomato versus my cucumber and swapping it and, you know, just really beautiful initiatives that people know, people want, they're craving it. You know, they're absolutely craving it. So I hope I can give them that.
We hope so too, Connie Boglis. Thank you so much for taking time to talk to us. I can imagine how busy you must be these days. It was a real pleasure to have you in our studio, and we wish you all the best of luck with your future projects.
Thank you. And finally, I can give you a hug on the other side of the studio.
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Сакате ли да чуете повеќе прилози како овој? Слушате подкаст преку Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify или од каде и да ги добивате вашите подкасти.